You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Monday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. We're down to Danette. McLovin's back. Fritzy's out today. Hope he's feeling better. Gets phone calls, as we always do. Best and worst of the weekend. What you saw that you liked, you didn't like. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp at danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. Say good morning to Peacock, our streaming partner, and our great radio affiliates around the country, numbering nearly 400 cities. We sort of have breaking news with Deshaun Watson. It's certainly escalated in the last couple of days because we didn't have any news out of Houston with the Texans and Deshaun Watson. We were told he was going to show up. He did show up on Sunday, and what we were told is he was respectful, but his demeanor reiterated he does not want to be in Houston. The question is, will a team step up and make a massive offer that would compel the Texans to move him? Watson would also have to waive his no-trade clause. Tom Pelissero, the NFL Network, says the Texans are now willing to listen and have been for some time to trade offers for Deshaun Watson. According to multiple sources, the price is high for a player of his caliber and should be. It would likely take at least three first-round picks and more. And then you start to wonder, all right, the Texans are asking for three first-round picks and probably a starter. Okay, so you offer two first-round picks and a starter. Right now, you got to look at him as damaged goods. And is he a bargain? I think you have to look at it. Both sides have to look at this and go, well, he was great last year, but if these charges go away, then all of a sudden you're getting a bargain. If you're Miami or if you're Carolina or Philadelphia, Denver, you know, it seems like there's four teams that are keeping their eye on, as we like to say, monitoring the situation, and they're monitoring the situation with Aaron Rodgers. I'm also wondering, how many teams would actually be in play for Aaron Rodgers this year? Denver, we keep hearing Denver. We've sort of heard about the Raiders. What about the Dolphins? Like, they were 10-6 last year, probably not sold on Tua. You can trade him to the AFC, which I'm told that that's he's not going to be traded to the NFC. And if you're not satisfied with Tua, you could bring him in. You have draft picks. Got a really good head coach, young head coach. Rodgers comes into town. All right. You're certainly relevant. Haven't talked about Miami. It seems like Deshaun Watson to the Dolphins. And then this would be my question. If you do trade Deshaun Watson to Miami, the question is going to be, if you're Houston, do you want Tua Tagovailoa? Because I would just want draft picks. Tua, you know, is sort of a stopgap right now, and he'd come in, and it's a bad team. And I would rather just sort of, we'll figure this out. But let's kind of look at this as maybe a three-year window, three-year process of we're going to get some picks, and we're going to figure this out. We'd have the number one pick in the draft, more than likely, trading Deshaun Watson. And then you could kind of regroup and go, okay, what kind of team do we want to be? Miami getting Deshaun Watson, that'd be a tremendous boost for them, because this is a quarterback who's, what, 12 years younger than Aaron Rodgers. Do you have to give up more to get him? That would be what Rodgers wants out. Okay, so do you have to give full value to the Packers for Aaron Rodgers, if that's the case? Deshaun Watson. All right, you don't even know if he's going to be available, even if he makes these claims go away. Does the NFL punish him? How long does he sit out? Does he sit out at all? And, you know, these are some of the questions that are attached to Deshaun Watson, who did show up, but I think showed up to say, hey, you don't want me here. You don't want me to be a distraction, but I'm going to be here because I don't want to get fined. And then you have Aaron Rodgers' situation. Rodgers probably not going to show up this week, but then when he does he want to show up to be a distraction? That's sort of the chess game, it feels like, that's being played here. Certainly with Aaron Rodgers, because I'll reiterate what I was told in the first hour by somebody who knows Aaron. He doesn't do anything by accident. This is all strategy. Because I said, what is the end game? And the person I talked to was said, I don't know. This is something that Aaron has sort of kept to himself, but he does think that maybe there's collusion with him and Devontae Adams, as if to say, hey, are you going in? No. All right, well, I don't want to sign this long-term contract if you're not going to be there. Whether that's the case or not, certainly feels that way. And then the cryptic message with the last dance with Jordan and Pippen. Now, is the last dance over, or is this the last dance? Have they started the music for the last dance in Green Bay? That's what I want to know. All right, update the poll results, Sarah McLovin.
Who's getting traded this week? Chris Bryant, number one. Don't forget Ben Simmons. That's for the second half of the week. Draft night on Thursday. So I guess there was a report that they're shopping him hard right now.
Mm.
But nobody has Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson. So people are skeptical that this is going to happen.
Well, I would say Deshaun Watson, but there's way too much. You know, there's a whole lot going on that you can't just go, all right, we're going to trade you now. I gotta have something that's solid that says, okay, you can get him now. He's not going to be punished by the NFL, but this is what you're in for. Yeah, McLovin.
I was wondering, is it hard to sell on sort of an ethical standpoint if you're a team? Like if you're Philadelphia and you bring him in, aren't you worried about, you know, what if this goes south? You know, what if the trial goes south and then you just look like...
Well, there's no trial.
Well, the civil trial, yeah.
Yeah. But there's nothing that's scheduled. There's no civil trial scheduled.
Well, he's being deposed next February.
Yeah, that's a long time. Long time to settle.
But it's not like really the image you want to put forth with your quarterback.
You don't, but these things all go away. When you win, it all goes away. I mean, Aroldis Chapman. Remember when they brought him in? He won a World Series. I don't know if the fans went, I'm not going to cheer for the Cubs. This is a bad guy. Tyreek Hill. Chiefs still have Tyreek Hill. Like it goes away eventually. And it would go away with Deshaun Watson more than likely. Unless it gets worse. But right now, we haven't heard anything. And waiting for a smoking gun where you say, oh boy, he's got to settle now. We haven't heard that yet. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. We ended last hour with a really pressing question of why do the divers, when they get out of the pool at the Olympics, they wash off? Paulie, did you get information on this that you can share with our audience?
Oh, yeah, you've been on the edge of your seat. Well, a lot of us thought it was because they want to get the chlorine off them. They said that's a benefit of either going in the hot tub or showering off, but it's about cramping and staying warm. The different temperatures, you're going from the air to the water to the air again. Mm. They think that a warm water shower or jumping in a warm tub keeps your muscles looser and avoids cramping.
Mm.
And everybody does it.
Okay. All right.
If you have more of a break before your next time diving, they say you're more apt to go into a hot tub because it keeps you nice and warm.
Don't miss the Peacock Original Special Sisters of 96, the 1996 U.S. Women's Olympic Soccer Team. Watch as members of the U.S. women's soccer team relive the historic match that won them a gold medal. You can stream. Go to peacocktv.com. Sign up right now. Paul Finebaum will join us coming up next hour. We'll talk some real drama there with college football because a week ago at this time, we didn't hear too much about Texas and Oklahoma leaving the Big 12 to join the SEC. Now it feels like it's inevitable. It's like, did it happen yet? And then... I think it's an unsubstantiated report that says Ohio State and Michigan have been contacted by the SEC. Not confirmed. But if I'm Greg Sankey and I run the SEC, I'd call everybody. Why not? I mean, more chaos. It's chaotic. How about more chaos? And if you're going to create this Goliath conference, then go. Ask. Hey, Ohio State, Michigan, you interested? USC, you interested? Oregon, you interested? Stanford, maybe? Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, I miss a lot. I was following the show on Twitter, and the way I, from afar, said, is the SEC becoming like the NFL of college football? Like,
yes.
What's the end game here?
The end game, to me, at least my gut feeling and a little bit of knowledge from a source, is you're really going to look at the NFL model, and you're going to be able to go, you're going to be playing, these are the teams in your division, and let's say you have 40 teams, and let's say you have 16 playoff spots, and you have a model just like the NFL. And also, you will get better regular season games, and they will mean something. You have to win your division, and then you're going to play, and then there'll probably be a couple of wild card berths, and it's the same thing as the NFL. But I think that, not the trickier part, but something to keep an eye on, you might be able to have 40 football programs and be able to pay the players. You could pay them minimum wage. These are the top 40 schools. You know, they're going to own their rights. It just, things are changing, and it feels like the NCAA has basically put its arms up to say, yeah, go ahead. We have no authorization. They have no power. Greg Sankey has all the power. He is Roger Goodell of college football. Yes, Eden.
NCAA is in a classic, we're monitoring the situation mode. Yeah, we're monitoring the situation.
Yeah. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. Now, I think that's where we're headed, to an NFL model, and I would go after the top 40 schools. Maybe it's 32. Maybe you do have the true model of the NFL. Yeah, McLevin.
If you go to minimum wage, what's to stop someone from suing and saying, I want to make $1 million, not, you know, because the market's still there. Couldn't it become a bidding war? Like,
well, that's going to take a long time in the courts, right?
Oh, sure, years.
Yeah, and nobody's going to be around to then benefit from that. You know, like the Ed O'Bannon situation with EA Sports with video games. But, you know, that was over a decade ago. And it's not like Ed was still playing at UCLA. It's going to take somebody who's willing to be, you know, sacrificial lamb. And I don't know who's willing or how many players are willing to do that. Plus, name, image, and likeness. We're letting you make all the money you want with your name, your image, and your likeness. And we're going to give you minimum wage for all the hours that you put in for your football program. The money that's going to be made here, I mean, that's why Oklahoma and Texas are leaving. You know, they don't want to share the money with these other schools they've been dragging along. But you don't want to be the last one in. You want to, if you're USC, you got to be thinking, all right, do we fit in here? Can we fit in here? This isn't about tradition anymore. Rivalries, nobody cares. I mean, we should, but we don't. And imagine if we actually had a governing body with teeth, they would have prevented this from happening. But we don't have that. The fact that you can go last week, oh, did you hear that rumor about Oklahoma and Texas? To this week, did it happen yet? Is crazy. But now if you're the Big 12, what are you doing? If you're the Pac-12, what are you doing? What are you doing in the Big 10? The other schools in the ACC? Does Clemson go, I don't know, should we? I'm guessing the SEC has reached out, Clemson, Ohio State, Michigan, maybe USC, maybe Oregon. Why not? See what they have to say. I would. Yeah, Paulie.
You know what I'd really like to hear from, and you never will, is the networks. And not the people on air at the networks, but the person who runs college football at Fox, the person who runs college football at ESPN. Those people are involved in this.
Yes.
Those people are talking to Greg Sankey. If he wants to make some type of super conference that's going to have a new TV deal and take over college football, there are people at ESPN who are involved and will not be talking to the news division. And same thing with Fox. And they won't talk to the news people. Like, you know, Brady Quinn at Fox can't find out from the executives what's the plan here, because they're all in on it.
Yes, they are. And make no mistake about it, ESPN is far more powerful than the NCAA. ESPN has been running college football. Now, you can put Fox in there, but ESPN is creating the schedules, and you know they were the ones, you know, going to push for a 14 playoff. Then it was going to be a 12-team playoff. You had the agreement that says we can't break this until, what, 2024, 2025. You know, there are a lot of power brokers here, and there's a whole lot at stake. I remember during the pandemic, during the football season, Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, we probably had him on four times. He hasn't been available to us. He's in the midst of something, not just Texas and Oklahoma. And I'm sure he doesn't want to answer my questions. He's been very generous with his time, but I'm going to guess that Sankey's probably like, who called? Dan Patrick? Not available. traveling. Yeah, Paulie.
He'll be available the day after the announcement, whatever the announcement is.
Yeah, but then there's going to be the potential for a next announcement. That's what I want to know. All right, I've moved on from Texas and Oklahoma. But if you're Kansas State today or Kansas, Iowa State, and Iowa State just sort of, you know, they moved up the ladder this last year. Oklahoma State's got a lot of money. What about Penn State? There's a lot of money there, too. Michigan State. Like, what about Miami? What about the U? There's so many different. Florida State. There's so many programs that they're probably going, did we get a call yet from the SEC? We did? Oh, boy. Yes, McLovin.
Yeah, Florida State. I forgot about them.
I know. Oh, by the way, Florida State. Team USA loses to France. Nothing surprises me anymore. Not with this team and the other countries. France has got, you know, a respectable team. They play together. They know each other. Team USA, when, you know, let me take a break. I want to talk about this because you got guys who are used to putting up 25, 30 shots a game, and then all of a sudden you got to get into that, oh, I shouldn't put up 25, 30 shots a game. And why the stars aren't getting the calls that they normally get. That's part of the problem. And more of your phone calls coming up as well. Take a break. 17 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. You can hear it in my voice. I got energy. I got energy to burn. In fact, it's called M-Drive Boost and Burn. Daily supplement gives you energy. And you stay driven. You feel your best. Because sometimes you wake up and you go, I already feel like I put in a full day. Mentally, physically. And normally that's just dealing with Fritzy with his emails all weekend long. I had to call him and I said, Fritzy.
This weekend?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes. Yes. I just said, Todd, you got to help me out here. He goes, oh, I'm just saying, I just wanted to let you know, you know. And I said, but can we, you know, how about one email per hour? Not like three or four. Yes.
The call must have been a lot worse than that.
It
Dan.
Was.
I mean, Todd's not here today.
I know.
I don't know if you've considered that, but.
MDriveDan.com, free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Also, find it at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Vitamin Shop. Go to MDriveDan.com and try MDrive Boost and Burn for yourself. Don't let age or Todd Fritz beat you. Refind your prime with MDrive. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. France defeated Team USA in basketball. Next up, they have Iran. We'll talk about that coming up here in a moment. Here's a joint statement. It's from Texas and Oklahoma, the athletic departments. That alone should tell you where we are with that possible decision with Texas and Oklahoma. It'd be like Michael Jordan and Isaiah Thomas saying, we're going to put a joint statement out together. We have a project we're working on. Here's the statement. University of Texas at Austin and the University of Oklahoma notified the Big 12 Athletic Conference today that they will not be renewing their grants of media rights following expiration in 2025. Providing notice to the Big 12 at this point is important in advance of the expiration of the conference's current media rights agreement. The universities intend to honor their existing grant of rights agreements. However, both universities will continue to monitor the rapidly evolving college athletic landscape as they consider how best to position their athletic programs for the future. SEC. I don't know, and I'll talk to Feinbaum about this next hour, about the current media rights agreement that runs through 2025. If they're set to join the SEC, then what's that mean for these media rights in this agreement? I'm going to guess you'd have to buy them out, but that was just released, a joint statement. I mentioned that we're on in nearly 400 cities around America, including KZOTAM, 1180 AM in Omaha. Fargo, North Dakota, KQWBAM, 1660 AM. And Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, on AM 540 WWCS. Thank you for your support with this program. All right, Ted in Tampa's back. Best and worst of the weekend. Hi, Ted. What do you have for me?
Hey, Dan, it was a great weekend. Yesterday, all the season ticket holders for the Tampa Bay Super Bowl champion Bucks got to see their very first workout. And what would really look good was the fact that the entire team was back. No holdouts. Unlike last year, we didn't have a lot of people like Antonio Brown, Leonard Fournette, and people joining late. So everybody was there from the first day on. And they really look good, even in some of the rookies that we signed up. So that's my best of the weekend. My worst of the weekend was I heard some noise out in my front yard. I looked out there, and there was about 10 kids who were playing in my front yard, and they all had little T-shirts on that said woke on the chest. And so half of them had cap guns and toy rifles. The other of them had toy bows and arrows. And so I just put my head out the door and said, what are you guys doing? And they said, we're playing Cowboys and Guardians.
Oh, I see what you did there, Ted. Ted,
hey, appreciate it.
All right, Ted. Big windup with that joke.
Long setup.
And there's the pitch. No longer playing Cowboys and Indians. It's Cowboys and Guardians. Mm. Thank you, Ted. If Fritzy had done it, I would have crushed him.
Yeah.
Right? But Ted in Tampa, we just move on. Thank you, Ted. I'm looking at the top grossing schools. Is this athletic departments? Or
this is football, I think. I think it's revenue from football as reported to the NCAA.
All right. Let's see. I'll start at 10. Nebraska, $94 million. Alabama, $94 million. Oklahoma, 8, $94 million. Auburn, $95 million. That's another school. You know, you start to think of these schools that make a ton of money. Penn State's $100 million. Ohio State, $115 million. What do you do if you're Notre Dame? Notre Dame, $116 million. Michigan, $122 million. Then it's Georgia, $123 million. And number one, Texas, $156 million generated. Got your own network there, but what do you do if you're Notre Dame? What do you do if you're Penn State? Is Ohio State interested? Is Michigan interested? Yes, Eden.
I'm sorry, but not to throw like everything out the window, but if that's the start of a new league, I would watch that. Sorry. Well, add another 15, I don't know, 25 or something like that. I'm like, hell yeah, I would watch this every weekend.
You don't want Nebraska in there.
I'll take Nebraska.
Okay.
I'm down with Nebraska.
I mean, historically,
yeah,
but not recently.
You need some of that.
LSU is 11th at $92 million. Tennessee, $91 million. Then it's Wisconsin, Florida, and Washington. Yes, McLovin.
I don't understand why Nebraska is not great at football anymore. What happened? They have all this money coming in. How did that program fall off? Did they just choose the wrong coach at some point?
I thought it started to go wrong when they got rid of Frank Solich. Because I thought Frank was a great coach, and he's still coaching at Ohio U, I believe, and does a great job there. He might have just retired, but Frank, I just thought, you know, that's where you go, oh, you know, our coach, you know, we need somebody more dynamic, or we gotta have a big name in here. And sometimes that doesn't work out well. Yes, Paul.
Texas football has had one 10-win-plus season in the past 11 years, and they're by far the most profitable team.
Yeah, but look at Michigan. Michigan's 122. They're third on the list.
Dang.
Michigan hadn't done anything. Yes, McClellan.
Yeah, they beat Ohio State on this list, unlike what happens on the field. And there we go.
Well done.
Maybe Alabama should have some 9-4 seasons and make some real money.
Yeah, Alabama is ninth on this list.
How could Alabama be ninth?
I wonder how this is. It has something to do. They report all the sports-specific data, the U.S. Department of Education. Yeah, I feel like there's something else going on here.
Where's Clemson?
So Clemson must have, I don't know. I have no idea. It must be private and not on this list.
What, Clemson's private?
I don't think so. I think it is a public school. Maybe they didn't make it.
But what about
million.
Notre Dame?
So they said there's an exception. Notre Dame, for some reason, does report their income, even though they don't have to. And USC does, too.
But USC didn't make the top 15.
No. And USC, by the way, they're not a big spending program, are they? I know they're like glamour, but are they never seem to get the big name coach. or...
Well, they tried Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
They were going to get Urban Meyer. And then it was one of the higher ups that said, nope, not bringing in Urban Meyer.
If you're this SEC superpower conference, is USC a must call?
Oh, I think you want to be in Los Angeles. I think you want to have that market. Oregon is a big time player. Where's Oregon on this list as far as money, revenue?
It's listed, but it's listed as Nike.
Oh, yeah. Nike University.
They read the name
okay.
wrong.
Okay, all right. Where other vans stop short, Mercedes-Benz vans go far beyond, from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, to their five-star sales service financial support crew. You can go that extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership, and do that today. Russ in Tennessee. Hey, Russ, what's on your mind?
Hey, DP, how you doing
good,
today?
Good, sir. Good, sir. What do you have?
5'7", I'm way too heavy,
all
but
right.
working on it.
All right.
My best and worst weekend, the best was USA losing in basketball. I am so tired of everybody clamoring to those overpaid, pretentious jerks.
All right.
I hate pro basketball. Worst weekend, no DP over the weekend, having to listen to some of the oddball shows. And I got a question for you.
Okay.
How in the world do you... You've got to have the patience of Job, because you put up with McLovin's constant rambling and going around a question to make a point. He's like a woman. He's like going home to your wife and having to listen to what Meredith did all day. Just to, you have to hear it all.
Thank you, Russ. Russ had a tough weekend there.
Russ calling from 1956, by the way.
I think so.
That's an amazing trick.
He's dialed up his phone. Da-da-ding, da-da-ding, da-da-ding.
Operator, connect me to Dan Patrick.
Yeah. My wife's nothing like McLovin.
Let's all distance ourselves.
Exactly. Yeah. I like how Russ doesn't like NBA basketball. As if he's got good basketball in Tennessee, where he goes, no, that's the kind of basketball I like. Or a football program either. But thank you for your support. you can get a sense sometimes where the phone call and where we're inching. Here we go. Okay. Yes, McLovin.
I'm going to not talk about Russ or his wife at all.
All right. Bill in Florida. Hi, Bill. What's on your mind today?
Good morning, Dan and Danettes. Good. So, my best of the weekend, the Yankees blowing a 4-0 no-hitter and losing, and now having to come to Tampa Bay to play the Rays.
Yeah.
My worst, I stayed up and finally went to bed at 11 o'clock watching the opening ceremony, and the U.S. team still hadn't been out. And where are the Brooklyn guys on the handball team?
I don't know. Thank you, Bill. We being punk today? I was going to talk about Team USA basketball, and I'm not surprised that they're losing or not playing well. But a lot of this has to do with the style of play. You got players who are usually the alpha, and Damian Lillard's not putting up 25 shots or 30 shots, and Durant's not putting up 25 shots. It's kind of weird that you're waiting for somebody else to do something. You're also not getting the calls that you normally expect. You allow France to go on a 16-2 run. Defense, optional. You know, France at least had a game plan. You know, they had Rudy Gobert, and then they had a bunch of, Evan Fournier. I mean, these aren't guys who are supposed to beat us, the United States. But they play hard. I mean, this is their gold medal game. And that's what the United States has to figure every time they go out there and play. Plus, Greg Popovich loves his teams to move the ball. Most NBA teams and most of these guys, most of these stars, don't move the ball that well. It usually stays with them. Popovich wants you to move the ball, and you're asking them to do this in a 2-week period. You're coming off, the NBA Finals, and the season went longer, and, there's just a lot of mitigating circumstances here. But the fact is, the rest of the world is not afraid of Team USA. Like Luka put up 48 in his Olympic debut. Slovenia beat Argentina. Argentina's good. That's a respectable team. But Luka put up 48. The rest of the world is not afraid. Can they figure this out? Can they still win the gold? Sure. But they play the Czech Republic, I think, after Iran. I can't sit here and go, you know what? They're going to beat the Czech Republic. I have no idea. Because you lose to Nigeria, lose to Australia. Okay. Oh, that's just kind of a friendly, a warm-up. Okay. What was France? Just a warm-up? Just a friendly? You don't want to be compared to the 04 team. That was when LeBron James, famously known as LeBron's, because he got the bronze medal there. And that was a good team. But, you know, Tim Duncan, you had LeBron, D. Wade, Allen Iverson. It's not a foregone conclusion. This isn't an easy pass, the HOV lane, where you go, hey, Team USA, oh, yeah, come on. The 90s are over. A couple more phone calls. Jason in Nebraska. Hi, Jason. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Danny and the Danettes. Love you guys.
Thank you, Jason.
Real quick, my best is the new Subway commercial with Steph Curry. Thought that was pretty funny. My bester is the Olympics in general. I'm glued to it. For sports I couldn't care less about any other time. And then my bestest goes out to my boy Fritzy, which I'm sure he's watching right now, women's beach volleyball. Oh, my Lord, Danny. Great. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you, Jace. I'm sure Fritzy has probably figured out the TV schedule for women's beach volleyball. Yeah. Yeah. I did watch it in London, and it was spectacular. I mean, just the athletes there, just beach volleyball in general. It's great. That's a fast-paced, fun. Brought my entire family to watch beach volleyball. It was great. Yes, Eden.
It's funny, I don't necessarily think of London and beaches, but
they had the sand there. Yeah, they brought the sand and made their own beach. I still think London did the best job of the Olympics I've been involved in. London was just wonderful. Great experience. They got it. They embraced the world. The royals embraced the world back when they were all on the same page. But London was that's as good as you can get with the Olympics. You know, Sochi was a mess because
it looked good on TV, though. I mean, we it's only what we could see.
Yes. And then where we were at our hotel, I was allowed to go from my hotel over to basically the communication center, our broadcast facility. And then I had to take the bus back and go back to my hotel. I couldn't go, and there was no pandemic. I couldn't even go into downtown Sochi. We were told that it wasn't safe. And you're there for over 3 weeks. And then I'm told in Tokyo, if you're working, you go from your hotel to a venue and then back. That's it. Due to the pandemic. Rio was a little dicey as well. Safety concerns. You know, when they tell you, hey, when you go outside, you know, make sure that you don't have your wallet in your back pocket. Like, there were real concerns in the evening in Rio. I found that the people were wonderful. The food was great. The beach was beautiful. But, I mean, you have this. You have it with these cities. Paris is coming up. Los Angeles is coming up and should do wonderful jobs. I'd still love for them to have two Winter Olympic sites and then two Summer Olympic sites, and then just rotate. Therefore, you're not asking these governments. I mean, Tokyo is probably going to lose billions of dollars because there's no tourism. A lot of these other places, Greece, you know, Rio with all the things that they built, and then what happens when the Olympics leave? These are real, real financial concerns there. But if you had two that, you know, want to be your Winter Olympic spots and then two your Summer Olympics, and then just rotate. And I know that the IOC wants to make money, and I'm getting on a political rant here, but I just think just being financially sane, smart with all of this would go a long way with a lot of these countries. Because once the Olympics leave, whatever money you've spent in that infrastructure, you're stuck with it. More phone calls coming up. Take a break. Paul Feinbaum on loan with the Mothership, the voice of the SEC. He'll join us coming up in about a half hour from now. Take a break. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Give you our best and worst. That was depressing. During the commercial break on radio, we were watching a video of Mick Jagger and David Bowie, and they were doing a music video, and it's Mick's birthday. Jagger's 78 years old.
Yep. 78 years young, Dan.
Man. But it's that David Bowie, Mick Jagger collaboration, dancing in the street. That's painful. That video is painful. And I do believe if you said to Mick, hey, what do you want for your birthday? Hey, can you wipe clean that video I did with David Bowie that nobody ever sees that again? Yes, he.
There's probably some like mega producer from the time who was like, guys, I got it. Right? This Jagger, this is what we're going to do. We're going to get you and Bowie dancing the street. It's going to be huge. Because, yeah, I don't think they came to that conclusion on their own, did they? At least I hope not. Like, that wasn't their idea. Somebody talked them into doing that, right?
I don't know. But do you think that you could talk Bowie and Jagger into doing something? It feels like they would have to be the collaborators.
I don't know. I mean, what is it, 93 that came out?
I don't know.
I think a little earlier.
Was it earlier?
I don't know. It's painful to watch, and because I love both. Yes, Paul.
Mick Jagger in the video is wearing like purple parachute pants and an aqua blouse.
Yeah.
And I'm using that word blouse purposely. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a shirt. And David Bowie's wearing a trench coat. And they just say, hey, you guys, dance and see if you as close as you can get together.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm glad the video ended when it ended because those two were really, really, really close to one another. I would always have a problem whenever I would watch a singer and then somebody comes in to sing with you and then it's like another guy and you're singing right there with another guy. When Springsteen does that with Little Steven, and it's just like, I think I'd rather just play the bass or something. Or I'll play the drums. But yeah, it's always, you're right next to one another sharing the microphone. Not good. A little awkward.
Yeah, like when Lars Ulrich is back there, no one ever jumps on the drum kit with him.
No, you know, it's Don Henley's playing the drums. Nobody's back there. Phil
85,
Collins.
85.
85 is when that came out. Yeah. God, it's painful. It really, that bummed me out. Like Jagger's 78 and still bringing it.
Hit number one in the UK.
What do they know about music videos?
Yeah.
Yes, McLovin.
That's right around the era where Bruce Springsteen did Dancing in the Dark. That was pretty, like a lot of rock stars were trying to sort of young themselves up, but it was not good era.
Yeah.
Did you like 80s rock at all? Like,
no. No. I kind of revolted against it because it didn't sound like the 60s or 70s. But MTV, you know, just changed everything. And your approach to those music videos. What was the second video ever played on MTV? The first one was Video Killed the Radio Star.
By the Buggles.
Yes. Does anybody know the second one? Yes, Paul.
I don't know for sure, but I heard an interview with John Mellencamp recently. He said when MTV debuted, they had about 8 videos to choose from, and his was one of them. And so he said he got way more airplay than he should have. He wasn't a star yet. But he said he was on the first week of MTV. Burning Down the House by Talking Heads was a video they played early.
For some reason, I thought it was Pat Benatar. But I don't know. I need a lot.
You better run.
Yes, Pauline.
Yeah, Video Killed the Radio Star was the first video played on MTV. You Better Run by Pat Benatar.
Oh, all right.
She Won't Dance With Me by Rod Stewart. You Better You Bet by The Who. And then it
That's when MTV really started going downhill.
REM, I know, got a lot of play.
Oh, and the first 20 videos, you had Take on the Run by REO Speedwagon, Rockin' the Paradise by Styx. They hit my stride there. Man.
I was reading John Wertheim's book about 1984, and it's really a wonderful book if you get the opportunity, because it talks about all the things that happened in 1984 with music and sports. And he talked about when Cyndi Lauper and Captain Lou Albano basically created the format for WWE, where, you know, you had the heel, you know, the collaboration in there and with Vince McMahon. And it was really a fascinating story of what Cyndi Lauper created, because they had the music video and they then started doing these big, elaborate, you know, fights where, you know, it was like mega fights. And I think it started, or at least partially started, with Cyndi Lauper and Captain Lou Albano. And they saw that chemistry between them. They had a couple of these wrestling matches. Yeah, McLovin.
I think someone like hit Cyndi Lauper with a chair at one point. Like, she even got physical in this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember that was my heyday of pro wrestling fandom, by the way.
Yeah, I never had a heyday.
Never? Even no. As a young, like a no. 10, 11, 12?
No. I was outside, you know, I was hitting homers and hitting jumpers. I mean, I didn't have any time to stay inside. I was talking to the ladies, you know what I mean? You kidding me? Loser.
I wear my Roddy Piper shirt and go to the Spectrum in Philadelphia. I swear. I was a wrestling dork. I was not talking to the ladies.
I wasn't either, because I had acne, you know, and every time I get ready to go talk to a girl, a zit would just pop up, like, automatically, miraculously. Be like, where did that come from? And it's on the edge of my nose. Hi. Yes, Paul.
I had perfectly clear skin and still couldn't talk to the ladies. I didn't have a pimple my entire life, and I couldn't do it.
I use that as the excuse as to why I was not in demand. Yeah, it was the acne. Not that I weighed like 130 pounds and I was 6'3", with my hair parted down the middle. Who doesn't want some of that? Yes, McLovin.
Yeah, I was this height and weighed 120 pounds and had the acne. But at least you were a star in basketball. I was a bench warmer.
Yeah, great. James in North Carolina. Hi, James. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, first time caller, long time listener, 5'9", 185 pounds.
All right.
My best the weekend was I actually got to spend the weekend with my daughter at her AAU tournament down in Aiken, South Carolina. And nice. My worst is my Braves, they can't seem to get over 500 this season. So hopefully there'll be time for them. And I got one more thing I'd like to say. I was listening to you guys talk about the diving, and I recommend that they add the cannonball and the can opener to see who can have the biggest splash.
I like that. I like that. Thank you, James. You know, maybe you could do it with all of the divers when it's all said and done, and then you have kind of a fun exhibition for, you know, best cannonball, biggest splash. That'd be fun.
Moving into the, like, frat house Olympics, that biggest splash.
Well, if I would have said to the Olympic organizing committee, you know, you're going to embrace skateboarding one day. No, we're not. Like, they want eyeballs on this. Yes, Eden.
Yeah, that'd be something.
Final hour coming up. Paul Feinbaum will join us. One more item as we close out the second hour, and if you work out, let's say you just do a 10-minute walk. Let's say you run a 10K. Maybe you're lifting weights. Maybe you're playing golf. How about before and after? How do you feel? Well, this is where Level Select CBD sports creams and roll-ons come in handy. In fact, in your hand, you're going to get immediate relief when you put it on knees, shoulders, neck, back. And if you don't take it from me with all of my surgeries, how about Carson Palmer, 15-year NFL quarterback, 7 surgeries, told me a couple of months ago that he used used it in retirement just so he can keep up with his kids. Just quality of life there. But you don't have to be a pro athlete to enjoy the safe, fast-acting, effective relief of Level Select CBD, because you're going to get immediate relief right away because it contains high concentrations of CBD. You will feel a difference. And the products are formulated with doctors. LevelSelectCBD.com, promo code DAN40. That gives you 40% off your entire order. LevelSelectCBD.com, promo code DAN40. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, and South Dakota.